dealing with the review, the quarterly review, what the department has been doing. This is the third quarter. You shall remember that we did not do the second quarter. So we are now going to have a combination of both the second quarter, April until December. What has the department been doing? I must also mention immediately that we are going to be hope and trust that when we have that session on Friday, we won't be long. In-gaming overhead and mortality of the board, water board, shall present the annual report to the Comptroller on coming Friday. And the venue shall be M314 Mark 2 in the third floor. Mentioning all of that so that members are able to arrange their time accordingly. But before we start our session today, we have apologies from the Minister who is attending the Cabinet Subcommittee, and also the Deputy Minister who has fallen ill. A medical certificate has been presented. Mr. Paro has a prior commitment, and Mrs. Barindela has apologized for both the 9th and also the 11th of March. That should be it for apologies. Members, as mentioned, we are dealing only with an item that is on the agenda, which is a presentation grouping by the department on this third quarter, which combines both the second and the third, and that takes us, as I said, from April until December. And I'm not sure what you do have here, but the department shall take us through. I did make a call to the DG, just having gone through their submission about the actual spend in the respective processes I mentioned. Related to their submission, which the third quarter would have reflected a spend of about 67%. That was corrected in the form of course those who shall speak on the issue. Because they had gone beyond December time to January sometime, which would have to be corrected as they present. Okay, so those few comments, I shall then give over to the DG and the team. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning to yourself and to members of the committee. It gives us some mixed feelings presenting our third quarter report. Mixed feelings in the sense that you will find in our presentation.
My apologies, DG. Remember, sorry, I forgot to mention one very important area which is equally important, very at the actual center of what we are expected to do. On top of your annual report, your third quarter review, we are also requested the department to give us on the budget realization program. Remember in our last session that we did the
Program, administration program, we've got DocSub program, of which corporate services achieve 50% of their shareholder maximum. And the financial management, departmental management, and internal audit sub-programs, their milestones are subject to the president's moderation, management of the performance assessment tool, and the moderation results will be available in the fourth quarter of this financial year. We have got a communication which achieved 80% of the third quarter milestone. International Water Corporation achieved 100%, and the program management unit achieved 50% of their third milestone. The explanations that we actually used in the presentation focus on the areas of partial and malachievement. And you see that the first partial achievement, which relates to our corporate services sub-program, indicates that we could not achieve the planned vacancy rate of 11% for engineers and scientists, and this was resulting of the resignation of officials and also our inability to attract and appoint the desired skills that actually maintain our vacancy at a high level. Our communication program, we had planned to brand a cumulative total of 138 projects. We managed to do 135, and we are working on a recovery plan for the first quarter in that regard, and hence the partial achievement of communication. The three indicators, 14, 16, and 18, relate to the program management unit that specifically talks to the asset mine drainage program, the short-term mitigation measures in the Eastern Basin, the long-term mitigation, long-term project, and also the development of environmental labor for specifically focused to the mining sector. For the short-term mitigation measure, there was a delay in actually implementing a pump based on the ESCOM power supply that we could not achieve, that we could not receive at the desired time. And also for the second long-term project, National Treasury advised that an alternative implementing agent could be considered in that regard. And we could do a draft costing model, but it has to be finalized with Treasury, and National Treasury also advised that they would assist with the service providers, that would assist us with the cost determination. I will then go to the second program, Water Planning and Information Management, and I will focus on the areas of partial and underachievement. That relates to the integrated planning sub-program, the first one, indicator 25. The scoping report that we thought that we were going to finalize could not be finalized during the desired time, as we had finalized our contractor pay appointment in January 2016. And the one, also the second one that relates to integrated planning, is that we only could do draft provincial regional master plan for the Eastern Cape. We experienced funding and issues and technical support, and therefore we could not complete all the provincial master plans for all the nine provinces. And the last one that relates to water ecosystem sub-program, we thought that we would have finalized the resource cluster for the 5 river system, but then our legal notices could not be updated, and some of the comments that were identified during the public consultation could not be addressed during the period in question. We will then go to the third program, and that has got two sub-programs, and I will then focus to the infrastructure development sub-program. And the first two indicators relate to the job opportunities that we could not achieve and plan. And you see that the later panel of contractors relating to the job opportunities for our water services sub program, and therefore delays the commencement of projects and could not create the desired job opportunities. And the second one that relates to the same safety sub program, the appointments were also made late, and also our construction site closed early in December, so the desired job opportunities could not achieve. The third one that relates to our water services infrastructure, our bank infrastructure program, we have only done to the third quarter a cumulative total of 7 projects that we completed, and instead of the plans taken back into structural projects. You see that in the explanation, it indicates that the MUSA project that is in Limpopo also have delays in getting approval and appointment of laborers and procurement of materials, and managers to borrow as well as the delays in contractor appointments. And in Nwate, the community unrest, and then while they were finalizing the necklace, and then in the Western Cape, they were completing the necklace, and therefore waiting the completion certificate, which should be expected in the subcontract. There are other sub-programs and that relates to areas of underachievement in this program, relates to the accelerated community infrastructure project, which we have done 27 projects that we implemented, of which we actually completed one. The others are still in progress. The deviations also relate to appointment of contractors that took right in the middle of the third quarter, mid-November 2015, and therefore we could not complete the project as we planned. And we see that the Wolfgang River is here, and the TPCA is still trying to finalize the funding strategy and the negotiations with the mine hubs that are still ongoing, and hence our delay with the finalization of the implementation decision. Phase 2C of the same project, there was a trench collapse at 21 kilometer, and also community disruption that actually delayed our completion of the 40 kilometer pipeline. But as you see in the progress we provided, we managed to do 39.6 kilometers of the 40 kilometer pipeline. For the phase 2D, 2E and 2F of the same project, you will see that the department had initially provided a directive to the GPTA, which we subsequently withdrew to the minister, and the decision was that this project would be implemented through the sector in order for us to be able to fast track, and therefore the process of handover between the department and the GPTA is actually ongoing. And the contractors should be able to accelerate the progress in that regard. The phase 2E of all projects, you see that we have managed to negotiate with major users based on the design capacity, and the department, based on those design capacities, we are still going to draft the geotechnical investigations, and also the record of implementation decisions for the conveyance system is the work that we currently underway. The Mzimbulu water project, there are pre-concept design reports. We had anticipated that we would have finalized the pre-concept design. However, the department received through the Department of Environmental Affairs the appeal, and we had to respond to the three appeals. We are waiting for the outcome of those appeals from the Environmental Affairs, and that would then provide us with the environmental authorization we need to actually put this in the process. The Greater Lee Harbor, the Manito Dam, the tender design is actually completed, but the process to actually accelerate the tender design process are in progress and definitely be approved by the transporter. And for Ken Williams, we have got an environmental control officer, but there has been also an approval granted to actually review the alternative implementation model. But there are pre-construction activities that are underway and are being actually accelerated. The next one on the dam safety, we managed to complete one dam safety project. The three dam safety projects that experienced problems during the quarter is the delay in the procurement of the material, and therefore couldn't complete the work in the road process front. And far off them, there were local community members that actually damaged some of our property, and therefore couldn't complete the project. And the last project on upfunding them, could not be completed because the approved professional person was unavailable to actually assist the department to finalize the project. The central cluster, site assessment for interest center cluster, asset management plan, there are still information that we're still working on relating to the financial data and the costing of the operation and maintenance. But then the asset management plan should actually be completed by the end of the financial year. For sanitation and water sanitation services, which is the fourth program, there are two sub-programs there that relate to the water sector support. The first two indicators relate to the sub-program, which is the job opportunities that we could not achieve. Targeted for the third quarter, and we see in the reasons that we couldn't, if it delays in the contract performance, and therefore the job opportunities could not be created and required. Similarly to the support to the resource performance, the procurement of material and also had delays, and therefore we anticipate that this should be finalized by the fourth quarter of the financial year. And then the last one that relates to the water sector support program is also talks to the rainwater harvesting program that we have. And the delays also there relating to the implementation as the professional service providers could not be appointed during the period in question. But we anticipate we need to be able to access and finalize the project during the fourth quarter. When it comes to the budget sanitation, you see that we had achieved a total of 1,197 budget systems that were retained, of which Limpopo managed to replace the system during the project in question. You see the comments on deviations, they relate to the labor raised by customers that have cash flow challenges by implementing agents and hard rock in the Northern Cape.
With regards to the sanitation, I just need Thank you. in terms of the breakdown program, administration, and adjusted budget of 1,187,000,000 and 134,000, and the extra spending was 1,052,000,000, which translates to 71% of the budget. Water planning and information management, budget is 743,000,000, 103,000, and the extra spend was 405,000, which is 63%. Water infrastructure development, 11.8 billion, and the extra spending at the end of third quarter was 6.6 billion, which is 56%. Water and sanitation services, adjusted budget is 1.4 billion, and the extra spend was 185,000, which translates to 48%. Water sector regulation, budget is 184,000, and the extra spend at the end of third quarter was 194,000, which is 68%. Overall, at the end of third quarter, we were at 57%. If you take the breakdown, the economic classification, comparing the same quarter in the previous year, 2014, compensation of employees, allocated budget for the year under review was 1.4 billion, and extra spend was 1 billion, which is 72%. Which is the previous year was 69%. Goods and services, 1.6 billion. Extra spend was 969,000, which is 57%. Interest and rent on land, 6.5, and extra spend was 6.5, which we had 100% spent. Transfers and subsidies, adjusted budget was 5 billion, extra spend was 3.2 billion. Which translates to 63%. Payment for fiscal assets, 7.5 billion, extra spend 3.8 billion. And payment for financial assets, the extra spend was 11,000. Okay. If you compare the second and the third quarter expenditure, these are the comparisons. In terms of the budget for 1.4 billion, extra spend was 708,000, 48%. Water planning and information management, 743,000, and extra spend was 292,800, which is 39%. Water infrastructure development, 11.8 billion, extra spend was 3.4 billion, which is 29%. Water and sanitation services, budget is 1.4 billion, extra spend was 213,000, which translates to 15%. Water sector regulation, budget is 284,000, extra spend was 127,000, which makes 45%. Next slide, please. The two cosines in terms of economic classification, in the third quarter we had 47%, and in the second quarter we had 46%. Goods and services, we spent 35% in the third quarter, and in the previous quarter was 33%. Interest and rent on land, we spent 100%, and in the previous quarter we had 11%. Transfers and subsidies, end of third quarter, we are 35%. When it compared to the previous quarter, we are 27%. Payment for capital assets, 23% in third quarter, the previous quarter was 19%. Payment for financial assets, there were no spend in both quarters. So the same figures in terms of economic classification, which still talk to the 57% in the third quarter and the previous quarter, the same quarter in the previous financial year with 45%. If I take the adjusted budget in the year to date at the end of December, administration is 1.4 billion, the cost is 1.63 IPA, which is 71%. I think I've spoken to that. Same as water planning and information management, 143,000 and 960,000, and airport spend was 170,520.
Thank you.
Kumalanga, 281.8 thousand, Fast Bay, 105.4 thousand, which is 21%. Lastly, Northwest, adjusted budget is 63 thousand, Fast Bay, 137 thousand, which is 3%. I look at the ISIC expenditure, that is 72,000. I just thought the members would follow it from their own hardcopies. We seem to have a challenge.
So could I just ask clarity, please? The figures, like we said, 44,000, we didn't get 44 million. We're talking millions, I don't think people be thousands.
Thank you. plus 10 is 4.5 million. So the whole of the budget was spent during the debt cost. 10 offices, including the FOCO, the budget is 158.3 million plus 10, 64.7 million, which is 41%. The total for the water services operating subsidy is 611 million, 227,000, and the plus 10 is 307 million, 622,000. So the Arctic Water Board, 10K Amatola Water Board, the budget is 169 million, the trust spend is 129 million, which is 76%. Northwest Mahalis Water Board, the budget is 150 million, and they spend the entire budget. Northern Cape, Steady Bank Water Board, the budget is 203 million, 800 thousand, and the trust spend is 103 million, 198 million, which is 51%. Okay, the end remaining water board, the allocation is 279 million, 120,000. The trust spend is 244 million, 368,000, which is 88%. Total allocated for water board is 802 million. The trust spend at the end of that quarter was 226 million, 556,000, which is 38%. In terms of the water services project, for the end of our projects, adjusted budget is 837 million and 17,000. The first spend at the end of the third quarter was 65 million and 8,000, which is 8%. So, of augmentation, adjusted budget is 1.9 billion. The first spend at the end of quarter 3 is 927 million and 208,000, which is 51%.
Thank you, Chair. Members, I will take you through the WTE finances. The first slide shows us the amount of the revenue that was built for the three quarters, third quarter. If you look at that graph, it shows you that all the revenue that we targeted with the exceeded the actual target that we had actually planned for. Both if you could end up by total CMAs and TCA. The only target that was not achieved was from construction income, which is the one that we drew to the system program we had in terms of the invoicing there. We didn't build all what was supposed to be built, and that problem is now being resolved. The next slide. The next slide gives you the total bonus to compare in terms of last year, comparing 2014-15 at the same time with 2015-16. You see that there has been an increase in all the provinces except Gauteng, where there's been a reduction, and that reduction does not mean there's been lower bonus there. The main reason, next slide, the main reason that the overall bonus bills is due to the new contracts that have been registered and due to the recent implementation of amalgamation of water management areas from 1999. Hence, some of the, if you look at the bottom of that slide, you say the new registered contracts per region are listed below per sector and they serve to account the volume variance for the other regions, particularly the cable and cable game, which has the most in the front of the slide. That slide, I think, still just emphasizes the growth we've had in the rest of the three revenue areas, except for structural income, which has declined. When you look at the expenditure, with regards to expenditure, we're not performing at almost all areas, and I think I'll go to the next slide to give some reasons why. The next slide. The reasons, if you look at in terms of services, particularly made of office accommodation, and this is an internal invoicing between ourselves and main accounts, which we still have to get the invoice, which we've already received in the fourth quarter, and the maintenance costs on professional services is the understanding is due to the lack of maintenance plan for water infrastructure. However, the NTT has appointed professional service providers to compile asset management plans for the water resource infrastructure. The impact of this spending will, however, improve over the MTF. And I think the last part was the issue of traveling, which normally traveling is linked to personnel expenditure. The next slide. The next slide, members, illustrates our debtors book. Our debtors book has grown to 7.2 billion, and the majority of the growth is as a result of, next slide, which will explain clearly, there's been a growth. If you look at it in terms of companies, in the red spot actually shows the growth, and the green spot on the change shows the decline. So if you look at district municipalities, you look at well the irrigation boards, you look at local municipalities, you look at national government and water boards, are the areas where there's been a high increase of our debt book, and there are reasons for that. The next slide. Just to unpack it more, the companies, the reason they slight attributes to the unresolved disputes to date, but due to any closure of companies during December, because companies during December, they close early and they normally pay in January. And you see at the bottom of that same slide, we say the total debt due in December received in January, we almost 580 million attributed to 1.2 billion increase in January, which was supposed to have been received in December. Then the other issue, the district municipalities, ongoing dispute of historical debts owed by municipalities continue to dominate the increase in the overall debt balance, month to month. DWF embarked on a campaign to engage with municipal countrywide through the intervention of the provincial and national treasury. The early closure of government also attributed. Now, if you look at district municipalities, you look at national and water boards. Those are, we have done what we could do, and with our national treasury and provincial treasury to try and recover the money. But there are still challenges in terms of recovering the money. Irrigation board, we also made sure that we sit with them and we try to collect from them. And the picture is better, in particular in the January, February, when you look at the figures for irrigation board. When we compare the slides that I'm on now, when we compare what has been built to what has been recovered or collected, comparing last year, comparing the same year, you will see there's a growth in terms of the revenue billing. We built last year 5.4 at the same time. Now we've built 6.8, which is an increase of about 20%, which alludes to the increase in terms of our tariffs as well as the increase in terms of the contract that we have. When you look at the cash collection, we collected 5.9 billion last year, and to date we've collected 7.3 billion, which is about 20% as well increase. And if you compare what we built and the collection, there's an 8% positive that we are actually collecting, even though we have left to see this increasing form. The next slide, Chair, is a slide which I'll spend a bit of time on it. If you look at the slide, this is where our implementation budget. What you see when you read the main account, amount of the understanding on it, that is the area where all our projects we have, the work projects, the game safety projects, the call projects, all the projects for the health mayor, raising of health mayor, all our projects are there. When we started to study the budget originally of 2.5 billion budget, when we were interacting with Treasury, we then agreed with Treasury to surrender 827 million back to them, mainly attributable to the issue of the work distribution, the bank distribution, the two Ds and the other phases which were supposed to have been dealt with by TCTA. And the reason being that we didn't get the funding for the explicit guarantee for TCTA to be able to implement those projects. We needed to get a take-up agreement with the mines, and that has taken a big toll. And my colleague here was explaining from the performance that we have since taken a decision to implement those projects within the department. And from this financial year that we are going to start with, those are going to be implemented in the department, with the exception of 2B, which will still be implemented through GTA. And we still have to engage with the mines. Now, I've just tried to give an overall to say, why the drop? If you look at the original budget, was 2.5. Now the revised budget is 1.7 billion. That 827 billion was then taken away from the project, various projects, which were not showing a performance. I think this slide, just that slide, that slide only explains in a broader sense what I've tried to. So it means we're moving from the 2.5 billion to 1.7 billion, and we had to do the reprioritization internally. Those slides now explain the reprioritization of where we're shifting budgets from one area to another, depending on the scaling of the grant. On other revenue projects, these other revenue projects are the projects that we have. Where we deal with customer relations, where we deal with the asset management plans. We have adjusted. Some of them were doing quite well, some of them quite slow, and some of them required money. We had to give them money. Overall, we had about 1.9 billion, which we revised it downwards to 1.1. Because of the pressures which are coming from the second slide. We have to give money to all needs, to increase the money on the all needs. We have to deal with the drought in the KZN to augment what main account is actually spending on that. We have to improve our capacity in terms of the project management office. We have to do some intervention at Bushbuck Ridge, just completing the project and put the Bushbuck Ridge. We have to also contribute towards dealing with the challenges in the Kanya Mute project. We have to deal with Mopani district emergency work in Mopani to improve the services there. We have to then intervene as well in terms of the Bal River water treatment plant. We have to also assist the shortfall which was there on the AMD, which was delivered by TCA. We have to immediately involve ourselves with the drill pipeline. So all these tasks that we had to do were then the money shifted to the areas where there was pressure. Next slide. This one only shows in terms of the operational clusters, in terms of what the revenue bill was. I think I've covered it in the broader context of the other two slides. So that one is just breaking it down to operational cluster as well as CMA. Next slide. This one I want to spend time. This is the somewhere where the money had to be shifted. And because of we have now since put systems in place in the department to ensure that future spending becomes better. In our maintenance of our infrastructure, we initially budgeted 1.2 billion, but we've since rise it downwards to 580 to ensure that we then shift the money to the areas that I've spoken about that became the need for the department to be able to address. In the meantime, we also make sure that we then start building capacity within the department by appointing PSPs. Next slide. By appointing PSPs and by appointing contractors to be able to do the work. I think that's where I would like to, because the other slide is just the same.
function of the station was transferred on November 2014. Before or prior to that, the function decided to be part of the system. What is also a milestone that must be recorded is that today the department, or to that day, the Department of Human Settlement has appointed implementing agents to eradicate pockets across the country. Those implementing agents were largely our water boards. In July 2014, SCOAS took a decision that the department is no longer to use its entity as implementing agent. That was translated or related rather to the department by the Department of Finance in November of 2014. The implication of that was that we had to phase out our implementing agents, which was our water board and other entities, state entities such as MISA and MERSA, to ensure that we are able to give effective decisions. Now, when you have contractual obligations, it's very difficult to then just have a cut of say and say SCOA has declared that you are no longer to use your implementing agent. So we had to phase out our implementing agents to ensure that they are able then to renegotiate the contracts that they had in place. We have negotiated with our implementing agents that by June of 2015, all of these contracts should have been renegotiated and phased out. They asked for a little bit more time and we agreed to September of 2015. This meant that we had to do two things. You recall, Chair, that you and the committee asked a whole lot of very relevant questions about project management and about standardization of costs. One of the difficulties that we found when we took over the function was that each of these contracts and implementing agents had negotiated their own terms and contracts with various contracts. You have a toilet, for example, that can cost you up to 70,000 in the northern province, and some that can cost you as low down as 8,000 in the north. So we were called upon to standardize those costs and to put specific governance processes in place and project management mechanisms. So the department was tasked from November, or seized since November, when we took over the function 2014, 2 days ensuring that we have a bit of a better management system in place and that we standardize the costs. I can now say that those costs have been standardized and a toilet will cost the department 15,000 and no more. That's where we are at. We also adopted the cost of standard when it came to the issue of pipes and circulation, and that cost of standard is between 400 and 1,000 rand depending on the diameter of the pipe. So we negotiated our contract like that with all of our contractors, that if you put a specific diameter in place and a specific length of pipe, that must be demonstrated in your as-built drawing and you must have proof of that. The only other variation we would allow is a geotechnical variation where you find hard rock. And that claim can also only be accompanied by a geotechnical report. So those are the measures that we've now put in place, and we have various governance structures and steering committees that ensure for province that in fact we have a collaborative approach to the eradication of pockets. I've also signed off in the Free State MOUs with all of the municipalities there to ensure that they are also able, because Babalwa Manyakanyaka indicated that we have very stringent evidence when it comes to portfolio matters for bucket eradication. It's the happy letter, it's signed off by the municipality. So if your municipalities are at inception, not on board, you're going to have difficulty in convincing them to have sign off. So we have MOUs now with all of the municipalities to ensure that they are able also to assist us in meeting those stringent targets. Or else you have a repeat of, I say I have eradicated in 5,000 households
and then there's no active letter, and then I have to reduce the target, but I would have extended. So it could cause problems for the portfolio and for me when I account. So that is really where we find ourselves in terms of bucket eradication. Now, in terms of the issues around the phasing out of contractors, what that meant is the bucket eradication was over 3 years, starting in 2013-14. We agreed with, especially in the Free State, that we would allow a completion of those contractual obligations for that year and only take over the new financial year implication. That means that we had to tread a little bit of water while we were busy with our governance structures and ensuring standardization, but we have contractors that have now come on board that we have appointed. We are project managing them, and we will give you a blow-by-blow account in terms of where do we stand in terms of the numbers and in terms of what we inherited in November of 2014. So with that background share, let me hand over to Mr. van der Waal, who will take us through the presentation.
Thank you very much, Member Dizzy. My presentation is going to quickly reflect on the status quo as to what is it that we need to do and where are we today. Dizzy has indicated some of the governance structures that we put in place, perhaps as to imparting that to reflect on how they operate and where do we stand on those. The project that we have taken part on and where we are working on as we speak, as well as a progress report in per province, in those four provinces where we have four more buckets, and then just to reflect on the challenges and the interventions related to the program. Jay, if we move to the second stage of the presentation, when we, the function was transferred to the department. The Department of Human Settlements did its own verification report around how many bucket toilets do we have in formal area. The census survey suggested that there was approximately 272,000 buckets, but the high number comes as a result of the interpretation of what constitutes a formal bucket. Just to give two examples to the member, is that, for example, when somebody uses a chemical toilet, and the emptying of that chemical toilet takes place once, twice a week, there's still a bucket that's being used to empty the waste within that chemical toilet. So if you were to ask a household what is the form of sanitation used, the household will then indicate that it's still a bucket toilet because I use the bucket to empty the toilet. Equally so, where the household had not perhaps wanted a formal toilet in the property after the household, he or she could use that bucket at night because of the distance and safety issues. Will then also indicate that I am still using a bucket at night. And that ultimately constrains the number of bucket toilets still in existence. The Department of Human Settlements then did a verification report, which then suggested that members will remember that there was a target of about 88,127 buckets in formal area, but the Human Settlements Verification Report then clarified the 88,000 to say that perhaps it's an overestimation, and clarified as to what would have been the accurate number of buckets, and that was an ultimate to an official figure of 58,010 buckets. Now, the reduction from 88,000 to 58,000 in the main is due to a number of buckets found in the Nelson Mandela Bay Metro. However, in informal areas, approximately 19,500 buckets in informal areas in Nelson Mandela Bay. And as a result of that clarification, I think that has contributed to the reduction to the 58,000. Upon the transfer of the function to water and sanitation, we did our own verification process, and we've recorded about 58,900 buckets in the main in the Free State, Northern Cape, North West, and the Eastern Cape province. complete the 18,000 of the 57,000 buckets, which then means that you are left with about 39,000 buckets to deal with.
Okay, my apologies.
Okay. At the time, we've completed approximately 18,134 buckets, which then leaves us with 39,000 targets that it was approved to be completed. Of that, 13,420 that two of our implementing agents, Grim Water in the prefect and Selibane Water in the Northern Cape province, of which the bulk is in the prefect province again. That will then leave the department with about 26,000 buckets, and that's the progress report that I will then be to the committee. The next slide refers to the governance structure that we put in place. As it indicated, some of the mitigation measures to deal with the performance issues is to appoint a project manager responsible for each of the provinces to assist us with technical matters, to assist us with interventions and try and unblock challenges that we may experience on site. We've established project steering committees in all the provinces that firstly will serve as a platform from which municipalities can engage on the project, can work with us in terms of certain aspects that are required from them, but also since us to unblock some of the issues. We complement that with a weekly report to track progress, as well as site visits, as well as verification to confirm that indeed work is done to the necessary standards and expectations, so that we can then ultimately, as we've indicated, achieve the measure of success, which is the happy letters and the certificate of completion from the municipality, and obviously we then report in the necessary fora around the progress on the project. We have taken quite members on all the projects that are available to us, with on the next part, with the exception of Edenville. I think GFJ has to indicate the challenge here that the municipality which initially only provided for 745 units. The municipality indicated that slightly more than 745 that they would want to include in the project. And that's the only issue that we were dealing with there is the exit, but we are working on the 745. And in Kimberley, we're also dealing with about 54 units. The contractor is actually on site to be able to deal with those few households, but that all of them were on site working hard to complete the project. So I also want to indicate that to date we have managed to deal with five projects successfully and complete them. There are five on the slide there. Those are five towns with a total of 806 units respectively as at the end of February, and progressively as we move forward, more towns will then join this list of completed projects. I will then skip the slide on the mitigation measures. I think I've spoken about them in the governance issues, and I think also DJ has alluded to some of those issues. But, Chair, I want to then indicate that we do have an incidences where the project targets do change from project to project. And there are four reasons in the main why this is happening. First one is that we deal with bucket toilets in formal areas. And we found that in some areas that some of the sand or part of the settlement is still deemed to be informal. And by formal, Chair, we mean that there's a formal town planning process. People have sent numbers, people have been allocated properties, their own title deeds. It's rightfully their property. Informally is where people have just been allocated a piece of land, temporary services are provided, so the formal sense enjoy some sort of some or all of the municipal services to those formalized areas. So we have excluded some of those areas that are still informal. Another area of change where it is changing is that the actual town plan that we are dealing with, for example in Victoria West in the Northern Cape, you would have a town plan that says we need to accommodate 890 people in this particular settlement. But when you go on the ground, stand to stand, we only record about 600 units, and that is also causing the numbers to drop. Interesting also, Jay, is that in a particular street or in in a settlement, you'll find unoccupied land. People have left the area simply because of the lack of formal services to those households. And now that the project is underway, those households are actually now returning to the area, either in the area not occupied or in between other areas or attempts where they are already occupied by households, and that's also increasing our targets in some of the projects. And then lastly, we have actually verified that in some areas that were said to have buckets, toilets, actually don't have any formal buckets in use, and therefore those projects were removed from the target. The next slide indicates the progress at the 4th of March, which was last year's Friday, and I can indicate that as a intro to this slide that we have actually managed to deal with 60% of the target, which is now 26,398. So we have moved from 28,355, which was in our initial slide. I've indicated the reasons why the target may have moved, and it's now on 26,398, and of that we've completed 60% of the structures. However, the breakdown is on the screen for the Eastern Cape. From a total of 3,948, we've managed to complete 2,075 structures. However, not yet flushing as we are completing the regulation. We have 186 of those additional tanks which are actually flushing as we speak, which brings the total number of structures in the project to 2,261. In the three states, we have not recorded any changes in the target, but we have managed to complete 5,738 of those structures, however, not yet flushing. The regulation is underway. And 1,236 of the additional tanks are actually flushing, which brings us to a total of 6,974. In the northwest, which has the smallest or the least amount of buckets to be eradicated, 187, there are two projects in this area, one in Krugersdorp and one in Bloemhof. The project in Krugersdorp, Samana, is actually complete. We'll see that on the second and the third slide. We are only completing the project in Bloemhof, and on that project there are 57 tanks or toilets completed, but not yet flushing. So that brings us then to a total of 124 structures completed in the Northwest Province. In a week or so, we should be done with the Northwest Province as a whole. And that takes us then to the Northern Cape. From a target of 7,877, we have constructed 5,028 toilets, however not yet flushing, and an additional 1,349 structures which are completed and flushing as we speak, which then takes us to a total of 6,377. This is very close to completion, and I'll show you in the next slide what then remains to be done. On a national level, we are then left with only 10,621, if we can go to the next slide. In the Northern Cape, only 1,500 structures to be completed, of which about 900 structures are rectification. It's just a matter of collecting and providing the furniture. In the Eastern Cape, we are left with 887 structures to be completed, Northwest 63, and in the Free State Province, 8,171, which brings us then to a total of 10,621. In the week that has passed, Chair and members, we have added an additional 2,329 structures for the week only, and we are confident that moving forward we'll be able at the same pace then respond to the delivery in the provinces that we have blessed. Can we go to the next one? Chair, this is our projected completion date of the program. As I've already indicated, in the month of February there's a number of projects that we have completed, with the exception of the Kosovo. I think I'll speak to the challenges and our issue around the Kosovo. Other than that, the project would have been completed, and as I already spoke about Poitou Milong and Bloemhof, that in a week or so we'll be able to wrap up that project. And we will replace those projects that we were supposed to be in February. In March, I think progressively, the project listed will then be completed. And as it indicated, that there is an infrastructure, bulk infrastructure, like in some of the projects, especially in the Free State, that will then address. So the project will be completed. However, there will not be any flush as to deal with the issues of bulk infrastructure moving forward. forward and in parallel. This year spoke about the standardization of the project cost chain as a significant game changer to how we roll out communication processing. Those include issues around the indirect cost as well as the direct cost. I think we can skip this slide and go to the next one, which will give us a little bit of detail. We have put a percentage which is a little bit below market average. To say for professional fees, we will then allocate a total of 5% towards that particular fee or to the level services. For construction monitoring, we will allow 8% of the project value for construction monitoring. That is for a registered engineer to supervise the construction and making sure that we adhere to engineering standards and norms. For preliminary in general, which is in the main for site establishment and other administrative issues, we're allowing a maximum of 10% of the value, and as BJ indicated, the geotechnical variation will only allow a maximum of 15%, either of the project unit or of the project base, depending on the type of process encountered, as a variation to the cost of providing this service. With regards to the reticulation, I think Vijay already indicated the cost thing, but that's just an indication of how we have standardized using the COFRA standard as to what we will pay for a meter of pipe, depending on the diameter, which will include obviously the excavation, the laying of the pipe, and the connection to those pipes. On health and hygiene, we also standardize this to a minimum of 445 grams per household. That will be conducted before we start with the project, during the construction of the project, and after the construction of the project, so that we also take across critical health and hygiene messages to the household. How do we look after the facility? Why is it important for us to wash our hands, etc.? And that's some of the education and training that takes place throughout the project, and I've already indicated the issues. Around challenges and interventions, I think we have, in a number of these forums, we've indicated that the difficult soil conditions remain our primary challenge in some of the projects, especially in Northern Cape. We, for sewer services, the excavations are by engineering standards very deep. And as we go deeper, we find more difficult rock or hard rock to be able to deal with, as I've indicated in the interventions that the team is making use of blasting, which is almost the ultimate form of breaking rock, especially in areas of Northern Cape, and using heavy machinery to excavate trenches. The second challenge would be around the infrastructure capacity chair. At municipal level, we are bringing new infrastructure. We are sitting with aging infrastructure. We are sitting with infrastructure that has not been maintained over a period of time, and for us to discharge our effluent into this infrastructure, assignments are not compatible, or needs to be upgraded to be able to then deal with the new effluent from the eradicated project. I have cited, as we've indicated, some of the bulk infrastructure lags would typically be in Vicksburg in the Free State Race, Lindsay, Kopelang, and Siena. Also indicate that we are also shifting boundaries in terms of how we address issues of sanitation in the Free State province. We're actually going with a grey water recycling plant in the Race, Lindsay, and the Fifth Estate area. That will now see us use grey water to flush our toilets and no longer portable water as a means to flush our toilets. So we think that it's groundbreaking work, and when it's up and running, we will then connect those toilets to those new infrastructures. In the Northern Cape chair, in the previous slide, indicated one of the projects, the Cocoa Ram in the Northern Cape, is actually or practically completed. However, we're having a little bit of difficulty with Prasa in terms of granting the department a waiver to cross railway lines. As you know, there's an extensive railway line network in the Northern Cape. And before we can actually cross the railway line with piping, we need the permission for us to be able to go underneath the railway line and connect to the other side of the infrastructure. So we're in the process of obtaining that. It's just been delaying in terms of granting work, but it's a short pipeline that needs to be constructed for that project going to work. And the last challenge, Jay, is, as I've indicated already, is the increasing and often also decreasing number of units that need to be attended to. We've taken that resolution, Jay, that it falls outside of our definition of formal buffers. If the people will be on the same street, the people not residing will not be into the same street. How can we keep on changing and moving south? And you said the way people are occupying, making use of the buffer toilet, those are the areas that we want to then make an intervention and address the buffer toilet system. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Just to for matters of on page 6 of the slide, and page 8, where we indicate clearly that we're going to go beyond March, which is April, May, and June. That's because of the parallel construction of what Andre referred to, of the Baltic construction for Pittsburgh, Redmond, Sokolan, and Senegal. So those package plans are being put in place, and in other instances where we have to do boreholes to connect water to the system, especially in Senegal and Arlington, those projects are underway, but it will be a lag because of the nature of the infrastructure and the time that it takes to actually put it in place. But as for the cost structure, we believe for the 26,000 that we 26,398 that we started with in November, we will complete all construction. And the issues around our implementing agents that have some of their buckets left in their custodianship under their old contract, we believe that there will also be some delays in that, but we are working hard in consultation with them to ensure that their agents also eradicate what they have indicated they would want to complete under their contract. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, DG, and indeed for the long discussion. DG, I must mention that the poor workmanship on your submission going forward will continue to reflect that on the leadership. Typically your 0000 on top confuses your new CFO. They have been reading, you know, south instead of New York. And this wants us to talk to worst case scenario wherein the Committee of Parliament, having received your submission on the agenda, this morning, your worst case scenario would have been that the committee simply having said it is not professional. You cannot receive your submission. We have a standard practice where at most we receive that submission a week before, at most. Somebody might wish to say we are not softer here. We can be higher. And I say the worst case scenario, we have had a comment saying state of that unit? Just suppose with your procurement process. At what point do you use your construction unit? At what point do you go out in public inviting any of such service providers? I also hear you talking about the National Infrastructure Agency, which I couldn't understand what that is. It is mooted as an agency, I would imagine, expected to deliver certain facilities. The other area that I would like to have an interest in is an area of enforcement. More and more you're talking about 37% of water losses. That becomes a norm. But whether that figure will include water that is being used illegally by some of the farmers, and also by some of the farmers, especially on the spring water flows. Just the other day I was in one area called Canada. There the farmer in a small building was very proud to be using, you know, water streaming from a mountain. Easily from there to be bottled and for drinking bottles. Now you are asking yourself a question, and the mayor and the municipal manager was saying there are more private dams and such than what the municipality owns in the area, which bears my first question about the ownership of water in our country. I would have also thought that you would expand a little more about the irrigation board. Maybe at some point it would be prudent on us as a province that we have the irrigation board to the province here, so that we get a sense of their own operations and their roles as it were. Your 104 mine owner, at some point that figure was touted as having been using water without any license. As to how far did we go on? That would be it from our side. I just thought let's just do it. Typically, you know, everybody comes and then I come there. So that
Chairperson, I would also just echo what you said. You know, it's very difficult to prepare for the Police Committee meeting if we receive these documents when we come here. I yesterday asked Maria whether she has received the documentation so that we could prepare for this meeting, and she indicated that she at that stage did not receive it. So it makes it difficult for us to prepare ourselves and to compare your answers with about 36, your third quarter report from National Treasury. I want to ask a few questions. And say if I forget some of the questions now, would you just allow that I then come back on the later stage? I want to add on to what you said about our construction unit. Rightfall, they are in the region of 3,700 people building dams. Mention the Cam William Dam. Now, if you look at your budget document for the new financial year, you mentioned that unit will be building that to the William Dam or extending the height of the wall of the Canadian Dam. But all indication is that that project or that unit has been taken off and you're going out on tender. I want to know why that is being done, since it's been on site already. Why do we, if we have got the expertise within our department, why do we go out on tender? I need explanation on that. I also submitted a written question to the department concerning that. Coming back to the budget, if I look at the information that, and this is only an information I've just calculated, if you look at slide 31, and you have spent 57%, 9 billion rand of the 15.7 billion rand for the 9 months, it gives me an indication that you're only going to spend, and I could be corrected on that, in the region of 12 billion rand. That means that in total there would be 3.68 billion rand not being spent. We know last year we did not spend 2.1 billion and we forfeited that money. I've got a huge concern that the department cannot spend their money. We know that it's going to cost us in the next 10 years in the region of 950 billion rand to upgrade our infrastructure and maintain infrastructure and expand infrastructure. And currently there's a shortfall at the minute indicated in the region of 40 billion rand a year, which we cannot finance. And we need to go out to the private sector, as according to the minister's reply to me. And then it's criminal for me that the department, the money that they have, they don't spend. And it's the second year in a row, and maybe you will spend in the next 3 months or so, the end of this month, more money than you should spend. In the report of the new budget report, the new budget, it indicates that there's going to be a 700 million rand not being spent this year on regional bulk infrastructure grant. I've calculated your documentation now, and for me, if I do the normal calculation, it's in the region of 619 million you're not going to spend. And we need to get clarity on this. Why is this that in this department where it's so crucial to have infrastructure on the ground that we are not able? I know you struggle with the municipalities, but we can't go in and year out and not spend our money, and then we can't get that rolled over and we lose that money. So I would again to say, in future, if the department picks up on short notice with the documentation, we'd rather send them back. We can't repair, we cannot do our oversight role on such short notice. I furthermore request that we'll go through the documentation, and it would mean that we will then won't have the opportunity to discuss this. We will in a written form then request explanations if needed, if we will be allowed to check this. Thank you.
And give up, Sharon. How did you graduate?
Oh, Carol, I'm not Sharon. I'm not sure. 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 No, Muslim Utila, who pitch 16, who nine does Lunaka? Imagine I said in summer. Not an excellent young man, he woke him in that. Or a speed, and other food. He put it on a better than that of me and my people to a gun on a bad day in his mind.
issue last year, and there was a promise from the department that the issue of the Pakistan scheme would be eradicated. But the mention has been made of a number of places where the Pakistan scheme is still operating. But those places have not been mentioned. And I want to take you to the issue of the Eastern Cape in PE. I went to PE, there was something that I observed there, and it was a strange experience. There were toilets that were built there some time ago, old informal structure toilets. And there are new ones that have just been erected. And those ones are also not in good condition, stinging, and so on. And also these kind of toilets are built with a view to develop the lives of our people. But I do not see that these toilets are really doing that development or that betterment to our people. Instead, they are taking our people back. Because I also observe another thing, that there were many toilets built around there in PE, but there were no housing units built yet. So I would want to know as to when that project will proceed. And another thing I want to talk about the conference maybe most is the issue of this development. When this development is taken to the black people, it is not up to scratch. Whereas when development is taken to other areas where other race groups live, it is of different standards. So we do not want to come to Parliament, particularly in this committee, to sit here advancing and representing the interests of other race groups at the expense of black people. If development is offered, it should be offered equally across. And another thing I want to talk about, the issue of the issue of the area of Swartkop River. I'll request my colleague to pick up the last part of
in Swartkop, the water there is contaminated. There is a lot of
I think we have raised this previously. And one of the problems
So municipalities are things that we had previously. See, they had their municipal master plan. I mean, there's provincial and then there's national. I just need to understand how the whole process managed. Then a norm regarding the compensation of employees. See, a lot of the programs are reporting there the bulk of their expenditure being on the compensation of employees. Is there a norm for the percentage used for employees? I think it should be around about this. I know it's not policy, but as a norm, this is 35%. I'm concerned that if I look at the figures, some of the programs are actually indicating a 55% expenditure on compensation, and yet you still have a high overall vacancy rate. So I'm concerned that that norm may be quite out of sync if you take into account our vacancy rate and what we are actually spending. Then regarding the War on Leaks program, how is the department working together with Public Works, the management of that program? Could get a bit of an explanation on that as well. And regarding the merging of the various grants, the water infrastructure grant and the water operating subject grant and the RIP grant to create that a new grant. The water services infrastructure grant that's going to be created. Who is going to be responsible for the management of that? Is it going to be the department or the individual municipality? How is that going to be to manage? Then coming to the right, before I move on to the bucket project, my head baby of Hazelmere, the MIC, we've understood from that. And we're still talking about design. I'm still a bit confused. I thought we were past that stage. Chair, last week when we had room water, I mean, that's how the whole bucket eradication thing came up again, program came up. Bloom Water is still reporting here 35,000 rand per unit, which we created last year, and they still insisted that that is good value for money, that they benchmarked and that is good value for money. And I recall that we had decided as a department 15,000 rand because that was in the presentation last year. So why are they still reporting? Is it that part of the existing contract as DG alluded to? So are we stuck with that 35,000 rand and they then getting a 20,000 rand per unit? Although they justified it in saying that their costs were inclusive, Mr. Singh could verify, he was here last week, they said their costs were inclusive of bulk infrastructure and reticulation. Could you just give us some clarity on that, please? And that 15,000 that we quote, does that include obviously the bulk infrastructure as well, or not? Or would it be project to project? I think it would be case by case. Okay, then the impact of the drought on some of these bucket eradication programs. What impact does that have, especially in towns like Senekal that have really been hard hit? And how many towns are actually affected by the drought and the bucket eradication program collectively? Then the minister had indicated at a meeting we had last year that this program was to deal with the historic backlog only. And I still question, has an audit been conducted to establish the number of toilets that are in existence post-94? Do we have a figure of bucket toilets that were in existence post-94, and are we planning on a separate program to deal with that? Or that was the question I raised last year, and I was told that this number is purely 394 historic backlog. So perhaps you can give us some clarity on that. And Bloom Water, the amount that's owed to Bloom Water,
130 million. Can we get some facts on the settlement of that, or what's the status of that that account, please? Okay, thank you.
Chairperson, I think my call is kind of what I'm going to say is with regards to those packet prices. On the presentation by dealing with the question of participants, I don't see KFM appearing on the document. When one has a student that said they are still areas in KFM where they are participants in that document. For example, there is a place out of the other. That place is a ward under an attendant metro, where people have been complaining about these packet systems. And for example, they are placed along the roads, not even inside their properties, but along the roads, which makes it difficult even for them to go out at night because criminalities that are attending their issues in our country. So the content chairperson runs around just that. And secondly, the issue of river contamination. Who actually is responsible for policing the municipalities with regards to maintaining their drainage systems? You know, most of the time, people go around our town, the city, these days, find that some of the residents are blocked and find all the mess outflowing into the streets adjacent to the towns and cities. And that leads to the whole stream water being contaminated. And in fact, these days, because of drought, most people have been driving their livestock to graze around the towns because there's much grass in those areas. So we find that those animals bring them. Who is actually responsible for policing the municipality with regards to doing proper maintenance on the systems? Lastly, Chairperson, when one hears of the on construction of the toilets, not really intended to pose a question. In communal land areas, we find that government is doing the same, providing our members of the community with these local housing in those areas together with the toilets. And who is the kind of source of the describing on the depth of cheese, because we find that some deep, very shallow deviations, which are up to a man's of men's waist, you know? And some are very very shallow. But it changes. One of those in there, everything is sort of pushed up and closed up. Who actually is responsible for prescribing for the contractors to build very reasonable and safe places for people to sort of go into business?
I think Ms. Vega has covered me partly on the questions that the group was interested in this department. It is that the group shortage. If that could be explained, how big is the problem? Because it could be that department failing to meet its targets due to this challenge of skills shortage. The other issue, Chair, it relates to the under expenditure in the department. And I think DG needs to be kept before it becomes a norm. Because it's against the law. If you are allocated money to spend, if you fail to spend that particular money, then you're breaking the law. And if you set yourself targets, and if you can't meet those targets, then you must deal with it. The other issue, Chair, is related to the over expenditure in Program 1 that relates to international travel, where there was a late clearing of invoices for international travel to accompany the minister. Could there be a breakdown of the travel between April to December, and the reason for the late claim, and measures to address this problem? Thanks.
is hamstring us, does not want us to move, so that we can ask members that we deal with those legislations. I've spoken about the issue of infrastructure on the M-Week. M-Week on page 21, you said in Mpumalanga, 52% has been spent, while others are at the range of 75%. We have spoken about Northern Cape and Ben Water, RB, as low as 51% on page 22, while others are shooting up there. What is our monitoring system? Are we above? Are we working for all, doing what we are supposed to be doing to ensure that people live up to their expectations? If, you know, there's this problem of market system that always come in. If we can get a good explanation according to the department, and the department must tell us where did they get this explanation, or what is their source of this explanation, between formal and informal settlements, according to their explanation, so that we can get clearly where it was. This issue of budget will keep on dropping out. You will hear, I did not see housing there. I did not see Mpumalanga. But when you go there, you see there are people who still are using budget. I think in your explanation that you have indicated that those who are taking something to toilet, they are calling budget. What is your explanation? So all of us right here must say, oh, when they're talking about this formal, this is what you're doing. Informal, well, this is what you're meaning. And on page 15,000, you indicated now there's a standard, the norms and standard of the toilet is 15,000. I think now this guy is what I do. You know, when I went to some areas, I don't know whether it's in the Eastern Cape, we got a one of 95,000 a unit. I raise my eyebrows. But you say now, what about the already existing contractors? Because there are already contracts that are contractors that are still there, are now there in the field. And when you are doing your own tenders, you mentioned that amount 85,000 Bloom has said. And you spoke about the geotechnical report that you will need when they bring, they want to increase their money from 15,000. You see, don't we as a department have our own engineers or what do you call geo, what do you call this technical expert people? I don't know their name. I will look for it next time. To check that before, to see whether there is any rock that these people may come across it. Because, you know, everyone wants money the other way. They may write false reports. It's your people. You see. And who monitors the report after they've brought that report? Last question is a question of, we have been speaking about MASH. That MASH, I was going to finish in the packet. We are eradicating MASH. The packet system in MASH. But from the DG, it says, there are those that you might be finishing around May, June, April. Are we not moving the same target date? We know that we, as a portfolio committee, if my memory serves me well, as Chairperson, we did say that as a portfolio committee, we are going to move this to June. While the department said March, we said June. Are you taking ours? Or is it because of pressure? Or is still the moving postponement, is the more postponement all the time? I think I do have that page. That page is page 5. Progress report on this sanitation. Progress report up to 4 months. You say in the department, the revised number of units are 26,398. As we speak now, there are 12,000 completed, but not yet flashing. And there are
2,888 units completed and flashing, which gives us 15,736 units that have been completed as we're speaking now. So it looks like there are 10,662 units that still have to be completed. If am I correct, can we give the time frame of the previous one so that we can look whether the extension is fine or not? Thank you.
Indulgence on the message and you can see many.
Coming to the matters that that has been raised, I will certainly deal with some of them, and then I'm going to ask some of the members, my DDGs and the CFO, to also give you some of your answers. I believe the burning issues that are being raised, Chair, by yourself, speak really to some of the policy issues that the department is dealing with. Let me start around the issue of the infrastructure agency. The infrastructure agency is a directive arising from the National Development Plan. In that National Development Plan, there is mention made of the establishment of an infrastructure agency for the Department of Water and Sanitation. The same director finds its way into the medium-term strategic framework. So it is a target that has been adopted and ratified by cabinet. When Minister came into office and this was brought to her attention, she also could not understand where does it come from, so she took some time in offering herself. She then asked me about mid last year to kindly give effect to the directive after some discussion, I believe, at cabinet and Labour Council. So it has been clarified. Some work was done in the department, but not taking it to its finality of establishing the infrastructure agency. And it's largely to amalgamate or merge the capacity that resides in NWRI, in the construction unit, and TCD. So you have an implementing component in your construction unit, and you have a TCDA that deals largely with the financing of that project. That is really, really important. We are now working hard to give effect to it, and I have actually received last week the inspection report to take the project forward with particular time frame and what the milestones will be as we establish this, or as we endeavor to establish the infrastructure agency. I have no doubt that given the sensitivity around this matter, that there will be still, with all stakeholders, a very intense consultation and engagement. So whether it comes to effect or not will remain to be seen as the process comes. I'm not going to say that come hell or high water, we are going to deliver. But what we are doing is giving effect to the director to actually put this process to establish the infrastructure. I'll allow Anil later on to speak a little bit about the irrigation board, as well as the mines that are operating without licenses, if there are any, in their view. I'm not aware of any, but I'm sure you'll be able to shed light. And if they are, then the directors will issue by the minister to those mines to cease and desist from operation because it will be illegal. But I'll allow them to speak to that. With regard to the issue of water losses, we also speak to issues of non-revenue. Non-revenue is of the water system, which speaks to the issue of losses as a result of either breakages in the system or in water leaks, as it's commonly referred to, or it refers to where you have built and they are not, you are not able to recover. So that brings the broader picture of non-revenue water. How much of that relates to farmers who are illegally extracting? I believe that the CFO of WCE will be able to speak to that and give you, Chair, as you say, it's your take issue. What are the, how are we actually moving to close down that gap if there is such a gap at all? My final point on some of the issues that you raised is around LNG and the long-term solution. You recall that the issue of the short-term solution started around about 2013-14 financial year. And that was because of the decanting of acid water, especially in the what was formerly referred to as the Witwatersrand Rand region. And in particular in the West Rand, where mines had been abandoned. And the water was decanting and causing ecological problems. What the department then did was to move so that the water table is able to recede to an acceptable level. I used to think it means you must take all of this water out. Apparently it's not like that. because if you take it out, it's created cavity. So in fact, what you must do, you must bring it to an acceptable level so that it doesn't decay. Now that brings into play a long-term solution. It means you are going to continue as to pump and treat the water, because acid water will be there forever, of our lifetime and generations from now. Now, we are busy with the construction of the eastern operation. That should be completed now as we speak, around about April, that should be done. The central basin is operating and the western basin is also operating. So we have dealt with the short-term solution. Minister will be making an announcement with regards to the long-term solution. And that means, in what is reported there, is that we are engaging with national decision. The reason for that is the long-term solution is going to be exorbitant. Very, very because it's, there's only one technology in the world, it's called reverse osmosis. And to do that, because the short-term solution, by the way, is only an attempt to bring it down. What the current operation is doing is removing the living metals out of the water, so we have sludge that is created, and we are pumping water into the valve system. That water has a high salt content. That's why you can't do it forever. You must be able to take the salt out, and that is the extensive part of it. So we are engaging with Treasury in terms of how we fund the long-term solution, how we take a phased approach to be able to do it. The positive spin-off is that you get, of course, a larger amount of water that comes into the valve system. So you will be able to recoup some of your expenses as you sell off that water. And then the million-dollar question, to which level of clarity I should take the water? You take it to just industrial standard, so that you don't have to spend money to get it to portability level, and how do you manage those are the issues that we are really considering. But I'm sure Minister will make an announcement as soon as possible on the long-term solution, once she has reached some agreement with a colleague in the Department of Finance. The issue that Mr. Watson raises around the construction unit. The construction unit has changed. For a long time, there has been the issue of what is the cost of maintaining an internal construction unit, and what are the issues around efficiency and effectiveness there. Unfortunately, I must indicate to you that year on year, the construction unit has been out of timeline, out of budget. In most instances, above budget, above timeline. And that's because we all know that if you are guaranteed your work, your bottom line is not you must meet your budget. Your bottom line is you come to work every day and it's guaranteed every day. Then there are huge inefficiencies in the system. So Minister asked me, please look into the matter, but also against the directive in the National Development Plan, which is there must be the creation of an infrastructure agency. So these things are in a little bit intertwined. Why they've now been taken off, and let me put that in parenthesis. They've not been removed from plan building. What they are saying is we need to bring in capacity of project management that are on the line along those that are operating in the private sector. Because the labor and skill that is there can be retained, but we must find a different way of making them more efficient and more effective. So they will remain there, albeit in a different model that they are putting in place. You are right, Mr. Baston, they have taken sight. Once again, they are completely out of standing. And when you ask them why, I'll tell you why. Minister directed for all of the huge projects that are there in the Department of Water, can we ensure that when a project is, let's say, Slahili, which is the dam wall itself is projected at 2 billion rand. In the past, what construction would do is they would import labor where the labor sits. So, because it's not a permanent labor unit, if we have a dam wall, let's say in the work, in Limpopo, that dam wall is finished. What they do is they take labor and they import it now to the Western Cape. So, Minister said, but you can't do that because part of this is to create labor opportunities and work opportunities there. Establish a PMO there in the place where the infrastructure is and make sure that, one, you are able to recruit locally, you are able to buy locally. So we have a policy developed on procurement of localization, which is logical. The implementation thereof did not translate right then. So this led to large delays of saying, no, but you need to procure locally, and there was this standoff between the DBCD and the construction. So I'm being honest with you in terms of what has led to some of these delays. If we say it's procurement, it's this non-transformative nature of procurement. So you can either say, because I must come to portfolio committee and the member of order is going to say, you have not delivered, this has been your target, this has been your base, you are not forced between a hard rock and the devil. Where I would say, come here, I'm going to meet my target and timeline. Then I know in my heart of hearts, this huge amount of money is not leading to transformation of the economy. And as you said in the past check, who are these people benefiting and so on. So that is where I find myself as an accounting officer. I decided to err on the side of, I am going to transform. Yes, you may not like my timeline, you take my head off every time I come here, but I am happy with the fact that I'm starting to make some inroads in terms of where we must be and use the capital at our disposal to transform the economy that we are trying to do with the model of the department. So those are the issues around the construction here. So we're not taking off the idea. Are we heading for an understanding? The reason why I asked the CFO to give you the benchmark and comparison between quarter 3 of 2014-15 and the benchmark of 14-16 is because I wanted at least to demonstrate. When I sat here at the same time last year, it looked dismal. You could not argue away the fact that you are heading for an understanding. I did two things that I think an accounting officer must do. There is in the PF&A called an adjustment budget. That adjustment budget allows an accounting officer to consider, were the conditions that made you allocate certain amounts of money or parcels of money to particular projects a year and a half later, earlier. Remember our budget for the next financial year is in June of a previous year. There are specific conditions that prevail. And an adjustment is there for good reason. Do those conditions still prevail, accounting officer, or have they changed, and what is the impact on that budget? I'm allowed to surrender, as a matter of fact, it's a responsible thing to do, if I believe the conditions are no longer the same. If Glenn William did not spend as I projected it would be because of all of these things, do I hold on for dear life onto that money, or do I say to Treasury, I will not spend it. Let me give it back to you. With the deal that come the next planning cycle, I'm ready to say, I have cleared the conditions, I want my money back. That's different to asking for a rollover. That's a responsible accounting officer saying, I have measured myself and I can tell you I'm not going to make it. So please take the money and reallocate it where there is another pressing issue in the state and in the country. I did that for all of the work bulk distribution where TCTA has a director today. There were endless delays. The CFO says, what we must do, Treasury says, when you are likely to give an explicit guarantee, what you must put before me are off-state agreements. The mining houses, up to last week, Tuesday, the mining houses said to me, we don't have money, we are not going to do it. Now, there's a social component for me. Do I delay not give people water because the mining houses are not taking off this agreement? And then, Treasury says to me, then you're not going to get your explicit guarantee. You won't get it, that means I can't raise the money in the market. Do I do that? Or do I say, let me remove it from TCTA, do my social component, and then renegotiate with the mining houses as the economy is able to have an upturn? And what is the implication if I do that? These are the things of a responsible accounting officer. But it has the impact on the timeline. It has, and what do I say? I'm sorry, Treasury. Take back your money. Because I will not be able to, now that I've removed it, I know the planning issues that are in the store. I know that I left it to PCTA, but I must now take it back for this reason. So, I surrender the fund. In my view, I think it's the responsible thing to do. Thank you. that's the 726 that has been released. Instead of holding on, and then I understand, and then as a member of Aswan, right, you said, you asked for a rollover, it's not given projected, you never started this project. As a matter of fact, this is underperformance on your part. This is underperformance when you surrender. It is doing the responsible thing. So that's what we did. We have taken it from a 45%. Last year this time, 45% we were sitting at. We're sitting at 67%. So it means I have moved quarter on quarter, a whole 12% up. A whole 12% up. It may not be ideal, because you must be sitting at least 70%. It's not ideal. But you also go into the responsibility of just spending for the sake of spending. If you look at Arabic, we went from 67%, we are sitting at 59%. That is not an easy feat, chairperson and members. It's not an easy thing to do. Because it must also be done responsibly. I don't want to sit here at the end of the financial year, then I start to off-speed and jump, trying to explain why was money passed like that, where, why was we put in that pocket where, in terms of that fiscal dumping thing that irresponsible bureaucrats can also do, because I want to save space and I want to save up space. It's not in my nature. Let's come to member Kaul. And I can explain the bucket of medication. KZN, Mkoko, Gauteng, there are no buckets for them. As it relates to the definition that was given by Mr. Sandra, there are chemical toilets there. People will say they are using a bucket. Then I must say, those are mostly in informal settlements. The bucket eradication program was specifically focused on formal housing units, not informal. So I'm not claiming there are no buckets. I am saying, as per the definition of the bucket that we inherited from the Department of Human Settlement, as was defined by SAC-SA, when they gave us this across the country, is where the bucket is. That was the definition that we had to see. So I'm not saying you can go to areas in Gauteng. You find that people are there using a chemical toilet. That chemical toilet has to be empty. But it's not regarded as a bucket. That's the definition. And those are sitting in informal settlements. We only deal with formal settlements. What is a formal settlement? I thought Shay Andre was trying to explain. It's where the owner holds a deed. If there's a deed, and in terms of town planning, it's designated as a stand, and it has been declared a township, that is a form of settlement. That is a form of settlement. Are we going to leave it? Are we never going to touch it? No. That is why we've developed a sanitation policy. Because we also have to ask, but what does that mean? If you now get a new director and say, eradicate all of this informal sanitation in informal settlements, what is the meaning? How do you go about it? And remember, it is a moving target, because informal settlements pop up anywhere in the country. How do you deal with that? And that's what sanitation policy is trying to deal with. With regards to the issue of the death of Mr. Andre, in terms of some of the issues that were, as well as the Swart Fox River and the enforcement around the river and clean river and so on. Let me come to Member Baker's, because it links to the public education as well. The first one is development of master plan. It's a mixed bag. The huge metropolitans usually have their master plan in place. It's the smaller local municipalities, and especially what is designated as the 27 most vulnerable municipalities that don't have. And that's where we're starting. We have started to develop within their master plan, but there are others that don't have them. And they must roll up into a provincial plan, you are correct, and a master plan for the department. So we are still in the process, and I remember that I was here last year when I was with Fred van Rijn, indicating when we'll be able to deliver on it. That I indicated that in 2016, but I can already tell, given the magnitude of what's going in there,
we can demonstrate the progress that we're making, but we're going to be nowhere near in terms of the completion of all of them. It's extremely stubborn work. So I was a bit overzealous in saying, let's start at 2016, but we can't even give you a progress report on this. Is there a norm with regards of the allocation? Yeah, it's kind of a rule of thumb. It depends on what the nature is of an organization, the business of an organization. But normally it's between 30 and 35% as a rule of thumb. In some areas it will go beyond, it's more labor intensive, you will go beyond, for example, the construction unit is likely to be high in terms of total allocation because of the number of people that work here and that it's labor driven. I'm not sure where our average is in terms of our full budget allocation, where you have state tax and you have personnel and you have others. We can certainly look at it and I can respond to you in writing if you don't mind on that. The issue of the empty letter, it is a problem, and that's why I've now entered into MOUs before the program started with the municipalities, so that they are also held. There would be long delays, you ask them for the empty letters, you send them copies of it to safety times, and there are long delays in their time. But I believe that our governance approach on the public education will go a long way in ensuring that we're able to deliver on the empty letters, and also on the completion certificates from the municipality. So I think that is what that Andre can also speak a little bit more. The issue on the warning. This matter raised its head about 2 weeks ago, Chair, when I was asked what is the difference between the warning in public work and the warning that is being driven by the department. These are two very separate things. The warning was launched by the President last year in the Eastern State for deliverance. That one is the one we declared 15,000 of these artisans and farmers will be recruited and trained and provided with certificates of training over a period. And they will then be deployed, some of them that is into our water board, into the municipalities, into our own department, others will become entrepreneurs and private plants. There was a program that was launched by Public Works in 2013. That one was to train young people with regards to the management of water users. That is really what that component is. It's funded completely by Public Works. What we did for them is to have an MOU that we will provide them with the learners. So we'll identify the learners in specific municipalities, but they do the training, they do the paying of the stipend. Then I had a discussion with the DG of Public Works and he says he's now going to phase out that program. But that is his program. It's run under him, it's funded by him. But it's done in collaboration with us because it's also water meters with a view of ensuring that there's less losses of water. So that's that program. Then in terms of the issue around raising here, you're right, let me correct it, that was erroneously somewhere in the report. They are taking time and they are building, they are raising the wall as we speak. So that one is underway, I think, safe to say. Let me speak about the Bloom Water issue. The Bloom Water issue started in 1340, 1415 financial year. Those are the two. They were tasked with completing 18,000 toilets over those 2 years. At a cost of 565. Unfortunately, that 18,000 was going to give you 51,000 per year. They now indicated due to hard rock and because they had to use some of the funding for articulation, they initially said you can only do 15,000. That shot the cost up to 57,600. They now at the point where they say they can't even do the 15, they can only do 13. The cost at the currency peak, the unit is sitting at 43,400. Does it include infrastructure? No, it does not include infrastructure. I've given you a detailed breakdown of what my 15,000 is. But I've also indicated that I have to put package plans in place. Package plans come at a very expensive. So you can imagine if I put it in, I'll tell you, one unit is costing you 10,000 rand. If I was doing so, we don't do it like that. We separate the cost because in any case, the funding at the same time. Our big funds, your infrastructure. claim from your contractor. And I'm now answering the question that Labour Mufonza has been raising around geotech reports and interviews. When contractors, because these are independent contractors, by the way, you can't measure hard rock before. You will only hit it when you excavate. And Andre says, in the northern case, you have to go very deep because of the nature of the soil. So you have to go very deep. There's no way you can ascertain that hard rock before you start with the construction. You only hit it when you excavate. But when you hit it, you must call a geotech engineer to come and do a verification of that rock for you. Those geotech engineers must sign off. Now, if they are found to be lying and so on, the council will deal with them. So it's unlikely that they will do that. The point is that Bluewater has not been able to put this geotech report before. So we are waiting for them. We've engaged with them. Also, they said they put it into stipulation. We said, what standard did you use, and can we see your what is referred to as the as-built drawing? Because some of these things have now been closed. But before you close, the municipality, like I'm asking for municipalities to sign off, you should have gone and inspected there. So show me where it is, so that I can then say, it's true, some of this has been done, and the portfolio committee, I stand by it as the accounting officer, because there are certifications. It's not before. So, I can say, Chair, I can say to the committee, I refuse to pay. So I place a lawsuit before the black, it's up to repay, but I stand by my stick to my gun, and be responsible and pay for something I don't know. I'll be drawn here, I'll be drawn to COPA everywhere, and I'll be asked questions I can't find. Again, unfortunately, it's not in my nature. KZN, Limpopo, Gauteng has no bucket, as I said, met Paula, because of the decision. But not that they are not there, the way you and I understand it. And waiting for it's there. Happy Makers, I dealt with. The issue around the impact of water on bucket irrigation, ground safety. Yes, in Haiti, for example, in Senegal and Arlington, the mayor there said to me, there's no way I'm going to allow you to come into my geographic space and put a toilet there because I don't even have drinking water, let alone for sewer. What we've agreed with the mayor is I will drill boreholes specifically so that I can then infuse it into the system, and if there's sufficient yield, then I'm allowed to do it. Fortunately, we have now been able to then get some borehole water, so we are going to go ahead and erect the structure there so that the toilets are in place. So those ones, that's the agreement that we have. But it's having, obviously, it's having an impact. The other problem is, as Andre has said, unfortunately, we use potable water, whether we drink it and whether we flush it, it's the same water. So it all comes from the same system. So if Elbow North Orange River dries up, there's no water for drinking and there's no water for toilet. It's the same thing. And that is what's enabling us. But fortunately, we are doing some pilots. We are using grey water. So, and some of the municipalities have agreed that we can do it like that. Toilet bucket post 1994. The one that we had when we started was in 2013-14. So it would have considered the bucket post 1994. See, we did our own verification last, as late as last year, to determine the 57,000 that was there. So those are called 1994, but in the definition as Andre said, not in another definition. The money that we owe for Bluewater, this is the strange thing. Bluewater claims, or rather, I have written a note to Bluewater, which the fee is expected. All the 565, we've already paid 470 million. We owe 95 million because of the 13 top. Now we are in dispute on the rent because they must make good on this number that they have cited for us. I have a 50 million rent in work. They are claiming that they've given us an additional 60 million rent in work. I've not seen that. But that already goes beyond the 95 that I owe on the So these are some of the that we are trying to clarify in terms of which. So the 150 million, I don't know where that comes from, quite frankly. Member Corsi, I have already dealt with your issue around why KZN is not there. The rubber contamination, I'll allow you to speak to. Also the issue around the So BVIP is not with the dry sanitation and what the best and standard policy that we use there. The vacancy rate. The vacancy rate there is an interesting story in the department. When minister arrived in the department and there was a declaration that this will become an entirely new department, where it's not the merger, it's a department of water and sanitation. The implication for the minister was that it means I must have sanitation infused in everything that I do in this department. If I do planning, I can't do planning for water here and then planning for sanitation there. Because you've now seen with bucket eradication how these two things are intertwined. If you direct your RD fund, your infrastructure fund, in this direction, your bucket eradication is in this direction, it causes a problem. Because you have structures there with no bulk infrastructure. So you must plan it together. And must be able to say, if you are allocating water to a wastewater treatment plant in Senegal, why must it be there? Somebody must say, it's because you are planning for additional toilets to come online, which will not allow the current wastewater treatment works to be established. If at the 9 meg capacity to bring all of these toilets, you need a 30 meg capacity. So that's why when you plan, you must plan it in a seamless way, because there are two sides to the same coin. What that means is you must restructure the department completely. So she placed a moratorium on the filling of non-critical positions, which I believe is the responsible thing to do. That was the one thing. And there was a bit of a delay in terms of the restructuring. First, DPSA said, no, you must do it. I said, I don't have the capacity. There's no organizational development unit in this department. As big as it is, it doesn't exist. So they said, okay, they will do it. 3 months later, they said, sorry, we can't do it. We don't have the capacity either. So we now reached agreement that I will source the capacity to come. These are some of the bureaucratic delays that happen. Because one arm says, do it like this, we try to do it like that, they said, no, you can't, do it like, try to do it, now there is agreement, sourcing the capacity, and run with the restructuring. So that's the one. The other one is, there is definitely a difficulty in the recruitment of professional and technical expertise in the form of engineers and other professionals. And Zanine can speak to how many times she's gone out and advertised. How many times people come back in spite of having an occupational specific dispensation for these categories of occupations in our department? We are unable to attract these people to come into the department. If somebody sits at Kusile or at Meduki earning 1.4 million, it's very difficult. I don't have that category of person, but I need the skill. But because there have been these projects in our country, they have been absorbed by these high paying companies. So I cannot compete.
What am I saying? I see your passion.
Oh, okay. I cannot move along. Is that what I okay. So unfortunately, the recruitment has been particularly difficult on those kinds of levels of so this has contributed to. Minister has now allowed us to fill all chief directors and all directors, so at least we have that layer of capacity in our vacancy rate will hopefully be down to very soon. So I just thought I should speak about that. With regards to the over expenditure on the program, I'm sure the CFO will be able to speak to it. Let me just say that in terms of how I think it will play out, given what I received on my expenditure report today, I believe we're going to come very near to our expenditure on what we have. I don't believe we are going to go over our expenditure, but we'll come very near to where we should be. I'd like to come back and explain what the impact of that expenditure has been, because we have to realize it's because of the drought, just so that people are able to live. We have to make water available. And that you can only do with tinkering, where you have to take water from where you find it to where we don't have it. And that means that we have to take some of the money in our budget for those costs. And then, of course, the issue of conservation of our water was a big issue. I had to really step in and ensure that it's been dealt with. I think you will like the picture as it's emerging now of wastewater treatment work, of dealing with the contamination, of preventing the contamination, and also of giving people a semblance of dignity when it comes to the issue of dealing with our waste. I can cite, because I have a different way of communicating with the department now, I can cite and show you pictures of before and after. But I'm happy with the progress that we are making. I think we are making headway, but check for what it was. I think I am going to be great before my time, but that's not the nature. So let me ask my colleague.
Well, one thing that I can tell you is that your CFOs are coming through. They're going to be very cynical. Straight to the point, boom, without any preamps, without any conclusions. And they're going to do that combined in that department. Thank you, Chair. The first one is about the management of EMR for KZN and water services compulsory subsidies. The money was earmarked for water infrastructure assets, and none were refurbished, but we were not identified to be refurbished. So the money has since been redirected to address the issue of the drought intervention. In terms of expenditure, whether it be over or under, we are confident that we spend the money that is allocated to us. As of yesterday, we are 88% spent of our budget, and we don't foresee that to be more than 2% of under expenditure.
My chair was the issue about the
education. That was a very good example.
I was the education board. Yes, indeed, in terms of the filling of the education books, but had consultations with all of them, and we agreed that the areas where they were not underpinning them were going to allow us to clean those areas that they've been underpinned for the license that they had that we've not been paid for. And I can safely say that we're on course.
Thank you, Jefferson. I'm going to be very brief, after the DG's impassioned and comprehensive response. He's covered the issues in terms of the agency. We have a clear way forward. We present to the minister a roadmap. Then coming back to the issues of pollution, Chairperson, and irrigation boards, I'll deal with the pollution. One, first of all, because it's related to the contamination, which was a question raised by two members. We continue to deal with our war on water pollution, which is a program that is running with our enforcement branch, and we can report that there has been some areas where there remains a challenge. The issue is for us, we've got increased capacity now to do the pollution control together with our sister department here. And regarding the issue of the irrigation board, Shepherd, it's a matter that's close to your heart because of the transformation issue. We have a roadmap that we can present on how we are transforming these irrigation boards by part of overall rationalizing the number of entities that we actually have as required and as reiterated by the President in the Solna. The issue of Ghana land and the farmer who's accessing the water to the detriment of the other users, it's a matter under investigation. We'll bring a report to you on that one. And then also, I suppose that we'll bring a report to you on how we're dealing with the municipalities that are producing. Safe to say, the DG has said that we have intervened and we are dealing with the wastewater treatment works, but the challenge remains funding, I suppose. I think I've covered all my
Gong
Estado. No me haga conseguir el vendo, en mi coche. Me lanzaron el lugar de TV y a Carrex. La Gono 101, dentro de mi show, son 20 meses. Right 19, yo soy 22, va a ser el Sahihat, Forest. Ok, ya no la nada. Y fue una mujer que me dio un poco de dinero. Ni van a ver, no me lo leí. Ukuthi ifu kwenziwalento okuthiwa yiplani iyabhekwa ithi iyakubantu abamnyama noma iyakubantu kulimishana and okugcina ngi le nto ikapapa black ship isasebenza nje i-South Africa indaba yekuthi i-township ngoba negama lika-township njengoba sikhuluma nje la ilona elileze sasagcina sesihlala kanje emathafuleni ngoba sasizama ukuthi silwele sikhumbula ukuthi ngo-94 sasilwele ukuthi sibe equal sonke silingane ngiyabonga ngingayithola impendulo manje ngingayithola sesibuye ngiyabona nje ngikhuluma ngeMandela Bay kunzima laphayana and abantu bayakhona futhi ngiyengisho uNkulunkulu mkhulu ngoba kuzamela ngayo indlela ukuthi umuntu omnyama angaphili yonke into eyisifo or i-disease iqale ngayo kodwa angenzeki lengicela mithi le nto engiyikhuluma ngithathe ukuthi i-disease njengoba zinjalo asikubone ngamaveki yeni lawa engena kwezinye iy'nhlanga nothi thina uma ngabe siqala ngikhuluma ngentuthuko kukhulunywa ngokuthi akuba amaveki angithathekanga amaveki into engiyibone manje lakudala angiyithandi ngiyabona
I want to clarify the issue of this provision of toilet in townships and other informal settlements. In what 101 and what 19 and what 22. In what 22 in particular, there are not four signs. People go to the four signs. In what 19, there are VIPs as well as in Ward 101. And although the VIP toilets are full, so the issue of development, I think, is taken by the not part of my question when I was asking as to why is the development deeply taken to black areas, and it's a different development when it's taken to white areas. Because the reason why we are sitting around this table here in Panama, it was as a result of fighting for the equality of all the people. So let us look at those issues. Because another issue that you also did not respond to was the matter I raised in relation to what I observed in PE. Because what I observed in PE was something that was not right.
Thank you. Mr. Mbula, very, very last one.
Thank you, Chairperson. DJ, I have indicated to this project how happy we are. The way the department is moving from where they call it, it's moving upwards, not downwards, in terms of performance with the entire staff that you have. So we also take into cognizance how you love, as other members have said, you love the department. We are still going to push you to the limit. We are going to push you to the limit. Don't make the CFO tell us to say, for to run away. We are going to push you into the limit so that you produce what we really want. But we also request that you also use, you must tell the department, use the 9 regional offices for monitoring and evaluation. They must not just sit there, because I never heard of the presentation of the items. Use them so that they will help you in terms of reporting. Thank you very much.
There seems to be a very clear concept here between on an unmandated working towards putting together a joint committee session. We shall have agriculture, environment, culture in the May. So that as they are equally dealing with the same issues, especially with drought and also environment, we have one session one. And it is also going to be another session next week. Before we rise, expected to be on the 11th of April. Day after tomorrow is Friday, and it is a working day. We have three of our waters. Again, I assure you that by 1 o'clock we shall be done. And so doing and so saying, I am sitting, knowing full well. Friday for members of parliament is a very awkward day, but I have gotten an assurance from having looked at all of you.